Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Becky are graced by the absence of the unlicensed taxi driver, and in turn break out a grand wine in the 2008 Franciscan Clos Reserve Cabernet. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. Tonight, this is Rob the Wine Guy, and I am joined by the Triple B.
Good evening.
The unlicensed taxi driver, however, is off out roaming the streets in his unlicensed taxi. And you know what that means, folks? That means we pull out good wine. It's very exciting. We have the, the Lindemans and the bottom shelf stuff ready to go Monday night. But tonight...
The barefoot in the world for Scott.
He enjoys it. He's like, he's Mr. Barefoot. He does. He really is. It doesn't look like a guy that would wear a barefoot t-shirt. He just does.
I'm sure we can find him some barefoot merchandise.
Well, he probably has it in one of those crates down the basement. I mean, if somebody gave it away free, he'd wear the death of it.
Right.
He's not a sophisticated man. But anyway, tonight I would tell you what we're drinking. However, we're going to go through a little process here with the Triple B. Where this is a mystery wine. Well, it's not a mystery to me. I know what it is because I'm the one who picked it out. But the Triple B doesn't know. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through...
All I know is that it's a red wine.
Well, that's kind of obvious on the Wine Vault. But we're going to go through. She's going to break down, try to figure out what varietal it is and whereabouts it's from.
Ooh, okay. Where it's from?
And then we're going to ask her what vintage it's from. No, we're not going to do that. But we're going to ask her, how old do you think it is? Or ask you.
How old?
Yeah, how old?
Oh, wow. Okay.
It just give or take. It's just kind of a mental exercise for all those out there. And by the way, when you see this posted, you already know what it is. So don't tell her. Nevertheless, when we come back in the Wine Vault, we're going to start our little lesson right back.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back. So, folks, what we have in front of us here is a red wine. Would you say it's dark?
Yeah, it's really dark.
There's no translucence. Nothing. So what does that tell you first, though, firstly?
Well, it's not always true, but sometimes I find that to mean... Well, I have a couple of clues.
Uh-huh.
Number one, you put it in a decanter.
I put everything in decanters. On the Wine Vault now, everything goes in a decanter.
Really?
Yes, except for white wine, of course.
Okay. Well, so my first thought was when I saw it in a decanter is that this is a nicer wine.
Okay.
Possibly a couple of years old.
Okay.
But I didn't know that you were... Decanting everything.
Whether it be, we would even decant barefoot.
Really?
We decanted Los Vascos.
Yeah.
Cabernet. And okay. That really is not worthy of.
Okay. So it is very dark.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like a little bit thinking that it's going to be something dark and rich, like a really heavy, full-bodied something. So my first initial thought would be cab.
Okay.
I would maybe, if I didn't know that you didn't like Syrah, I would maybe think that this is a Syrah. But knowing you, so I'm pretty solid on that this is a cab, or at least a heavily handed cab blend.
Well, the first thing I would do to suggest how to determine this is we can look at it, but what we need to do is first smell it. Because with Syrah, as you said, You're going to get a different nose than you would a cat.
Right.
Correct?
Is Syrah the one that smells like...
ass. No.
Pencil lead?
No, that's Petite Syrah.
Oh, that's Petite Syrah.
We've had a bad run. I think if you've been listening to the show, and I know you have because you're listening to this one, we had a bad run. We had a trio of Syrah-based wines and a few, Klein, Acorn, and then the Hedges CMS. Every one of those was just a... I know
worse
you guys,
than the last.
You liked Klein, but I did not care for their... And then the Axiom, oh, terrible. So, when we smell this,
mm-hmm.
What do you smell? This is all you.
Ooh. Blackberry?
That's blackberry is definite.
And that's interesting. It's interesting to me because I can normally smell berry, and I can't distinguish the berry
mm-hmm.
easily.
You can smell the seeds are in there.
I know.
Poison berry
yeah,
as well.
I was going to say you can, I feel like I have my nose on a blackberry.
Mm-hmm. That's what that is.
I don't know what boysenberry smells like, so
like
I can't.
Blackberry. You smell the vanilla?
Yes, I can smell the vanilla.
So what does the vanilla tell us? This is a quiz.
That it's from California.
No, I wasn't getting to that.
Oh,
no.
What does it tell us?
Where does vanilla typically emanate from a wine?
I don't know what. I don't know the answer you're looking for.
Oak.
Oh.
Normally that's a...
I don't smell the oakiness. Do you think it's going to be in there?
Well, the vanilla is the oakiness.
Oh, the vanilla is the oakiness.
Yes.
Oh, but just done at a higher level.
It's just the way it comes across in this
oh,
wine.
Oh, interesting.
By char and a myriad of other factors.
Yeah.
Vanilla is typically a sign of oak.
So, the other day we listened to a vintage episode of The Wine Vault, and I don't know what we were drinking, but Steve said he couldn't drink it, and I didn't like it because it was so oaky.
It was the wonderful Costantino the Zin.
But that came across as an oak.
Well, yeah.
Smell.
Well, they I think that they do that in the cedar chest.
But they just moved out their grandma's quilts and
yeah, no, take the mothballs out before. Oh,
yeah.
Just seal it up with duct tape; won't hurt.
But this is, like, it's difficult. Like, I don't smell oak. I smell the vanilla. It's a very, very mm-hmm. nice, light smell.
Yeah, so on the nose, we have vanilla, we have blackberry, we have boysenberry.
I'm trying to smell through for some other flavors, like a black licorice or anything like that, and I'm not smelling it.
No, there is a little bit of cassis there, but it's... You're not going to... The black olive or anything like that isn't present.
Right.
So what does that suggest? There is cassis, mind you, but...
I am definitely thinking that this is a domestic wine.
Okay. You think it's domestic wine? Are you saying Washington, California, New York, Ohio, Florida, Alaska?
North Carolina.
Yes.
I am going to say that this is a Californian wine.
Okay. What varietal would you say this?
Cab.
See, it's a cab.
I think it's a California cab.
All right, so let's now, folks, let's taste it so we can see if we can zero in more and see if she's right.
Mmm. Okay. It's good wine.
Folks, it has a beautiful soft mouthfeel. However, the mid palate is very astringent and it's tannic.
It's very tannic.
Mm-hmm. It is a very tannic, burly wine. However, I love the front palate. It's not overpowering, though. Really, ideally, although I will say this, this producer, I've had it several times for different versions. This is typically atypical of how they do it. They do have a tannic backbone. They're very, very tannic.
Does this producer make a Merlot?
Yes, they do.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
That's normally how I know a Merlot is the tannins in the Merlot.
Mm. Oh, you think this is Merlot?
I I'm still leaning towards cab, mm-hmm. but part of me thinks that this might be a blend. That this might be a Cab Merlot blend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like this game. I think it's a Cab Merlot blend.
Really?
Yeah.
So, how old do you think it is?
Let me see the decanter for sediment.
There's no sediment.
There's no sediment?
No. There wasn't any in the bottle either.
That's a lot. I would say the last 5 years, but I don't know.
Nothing older than 2012.
Right.
That's what you're saying. Well, I see where you're seeing with the astringency in the mid palate as to why you think that there's Merlot in here.
Mm-hmm. I think it... So let me... I want to, like, make my final.
Okay.
I think... I know that this is a cab.
Okay.
Part of me thinks that this is a Cab Merlot blend. But I'm just telling you, I don't... If I, like, if you were even asking me to go further and guess
mm-hmm.
percentages, I would do, like, 70-30. I still think that this is a mm-hmm. predominantly, if not exclusively, cab. The tannins are throwing me off because...
And you think it's California?
I do.
Where in California would you say?
Ugh, I can't do that. I'm bad at that.
Okay. Well, folks, when we come back, we are going to reveal...
Ooh.
The secret.
So we'll reveal it and then rate it?
Well, no, we'll reveal it. Then I'm going to talk about the winery.
Okay.
We'll talk more about the wine.
Okay.
When we come back on the Wine Ball. Folks, we're back. The wine that we are consuming tonight, I know it's been a bit of a mystery. Oh, who doesn't like a little bit of cabaret? Anyway, or mystery, whatever. It's a mystery, yeah. The wine we're drinking tonight, you should know, Becky, because we've been there. We bought it on our baby moon. However, it is Franciscan's 2008 Close Reserve Cabernet from Napa Valley. So, Becky was very, very, very close. One thing I will say about this, it might have some Merlot, but the Merlot would be maybe under 10%.
I said at least 70% Cab.
Yeah, so it's primarily Cabernet. Franciscan, obviously located in Napa Valley. In the future, you're going to hear us review other Franciscans on the Wine Vault, the Chardonnay and their Napa Standard Cabernet.
Okay.
They're both coming to the Wine Vault. That's, well, assuming that the superstar
comes through.
Gets to, well, we've got it. He's got to bring it. This wine, though, particularly the Clos Reserve, is winery only. So I'm sorry, folks, you can't buy this wine unless you go to California to the winery. Franciscan, though, I love their stuff, especially the reds. One thing that you probably can buy probably around $50 is Franciscan Magnificent. And you can find that in the nicer sections in a nicer Giant Eagle or Kroger Marketplace or some of your nicer wine shops. Magnificent is a wonderful wine. It's around $55. Once again, though, it's going to have a burly, big tannic backbone. Most Franciscans do. everything, I think, I would say everything is accentuated a little bit more so, especially the astringency in this wine. You can tell, though, this is 9 years old now. And see, we went
9 years old.
Yeah, wow. 2008.
I guess last 5 years because there's no sediment.
Mm-hmm. And this wine probably could go another 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
I think you can. I definitely think that it could do that. But I'll be honest. I said, 08. That's pretty good timing. But I said there was no sediment in the bottle.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I will say, though, it is a bit lean, except for the astringency and the tannin. So, you do have a lean berry fruit, the blackberry and the cassis and a few other things up front. that washed into the astringency right in the mid-palate, that drying on your tongue, and then the tannins in the background. So it's a burly, where's my steak red? That is what this is.
It's very, very strong.
Whenever we talk about dry-age ribeye, this is a dry-age ribeye red. If it were to go retail, it'd be $65, $70, something like that. I think that's probably what we paid at the winery, so that's probably pretty fair, a retailish price. A little bit more than Magnificent, but somewhere in that range. Burly, big, can handle the richness of the big, beefy steaks. That's what this is for.
There is a little bit of sediment in my cup, a small amount.
A little particulate, yeah. A little. One thing I will say, without food, it has a hard time shining because of that burliness. It really needs something strong to offset it. Mm. Like a peanut butter cookie.
Yep. Gluten-free. No.
We've had a little bit of a issue with peanut butter cookies today. But nevertheless, when we come back, folks, we're going to break into a little bit of reviewing. We'll be right back in the Wine Vault. Folks, we're back. We are going to review the 2008 Franciscan Estate Clos Reserve Cabernet from Napa Valley. We're going to start off with the Triple B. And one thing I'll start off
with... Actually, I need to refill my glass.
Oh, my. One thing I'd like to start by saying, though, is this wine really is you really need to draw in a bunch of air to get it going. This is not a casual sipper where you're going to necessarily notice very much. So you have to draw in. You have to really, really focus on the wine. It sounds kind of stupid for me to say that, but it's the truth. And one thing I was remiss in saying, the alcohol level is 14.5, which is pretty good for a Cabernet. And I should read the back of the wine since we always do that.
Yep.
Starts off by saying, richness and complexity define the small production reserve blend. Layered aromas of cassis, bay, and anise lead to a full and elegant palette of dark fruits, tobacco, and cocoa.
Tobacco?
I didn't catch the tobacco. Accented by tantalizing hints of spice.
I'm just wondering, would that vanilla be a touch of tobacco? Like that, sometimes when...
Nah, maybe.
Sometimes you can get the sweetness of tobacco. Swisher sweet of tobacco.
Possibly.
Yeah, and we took it as oak, but maybe it was...
But that's also them tasting this several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. It's probably developed since then. Just going to start off with Triple B. I do, the bay and the ants, and the bay is very, very prominent on the nose if you really think about it. No, very rarely do you smell bay.
Right.
But that is bay.
Hmm.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm.
Did you say how much you paid for this?
60-something, I think. What?
It's a lot.
Well, it's out there, so it's win in Rome, or win in California. Yeah.
Win on a baby moon.
That's right. So, what is your fault on this wine?
I had no idea we were drinking a $60 bottle of wine. I would not have been eating these...
Peanut butter cookies.
They're not peanut butter cookies. They're like the gluten-free version of Ritz peanut butter crackers.
But it says on the box, cookies.
I think probably because there's a trademark from Ritz.
On peanut butter crackers?
Yeah.
They have cheddar crackers.
They're not that great. Don't get them for me.
Okay.
This is a great cab.
Okay.
And I think your comment about it missing a steak is a great comment.
Mm-hmm.
You're drinking this just wonderful, full-bodied, wine, and you want there to be...
It is full-bodied.
Yeah. So, I would give this a really high score. However, I would never have said $60 on it. And so that makes me wonder if it's... if I should lower its rating.
Price is not a factor. Do you have a thought?
It's very difficult to take price out.
Well, you have to.
Okay, it's an extremely... it's a really, really good cab. It's everything that you want, and it's kind of your stereotypical things you look for in a cab. I knew it was a cab right away, just by smelling it. The blackberry vanilla combo is delicious. It smells amazing. I can't find a fault in it.
Okay.
I give it a 90. That's when it gets so hard. I'm so used to writing junk. I am. I want to give it a 91.
Okay, 91. A 91. So,
if I could give it a 91 with an up arrow, I would.
You can't. A hard 91? Or like a soft 92?
Yeah.
That's something Scott would do. And we would ridicule him for it. So now it's on to me, folks. And like Becky said, it has wonderful cab properties. It is full-bodied. It has a tannic backbone. It's still a little bit young, shockingly.
Which I think really only speaks to the quality of it, right?
It's chewy.
Mm-hmm.
Very chewy.
I almost said that to steal it from you.
Almost. It's a little bit overly tannic. In that regard,
I love tannic.
Well, I know. The problem you're going to have is, first of all, for just the masses, they'll hate it. I mean, hey, casual wine drinker, you will hate this because it's so tannic. That's why you have to think of like the Turley Cab. Turley Cab has a silkier tannic structure to it. It isn't.
Do you know why?
No, be quiet. Don't say the Turley mouth.
It has the Turley mouth feel.
Well, anyway. This is far more rustic, probably from the grapes, actually, where they're probably sourcing it from, where they're
growing. That's a really good way to describe this. It's like a hardy, rustic cab.
It is. And that tells me, once again, they refer to it as Napa Valley. They're not saying it's Stag's Leap or it's Oakville, but I'm betting that the majority of the grapes are Oakville. Why do I say this? Because the winery is located in Oakville. And it does have a burly, over-the-top burliness to it.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the biggest cabs I think I've had.
On the Wine Vault? Probably. Yeah. The burliest, anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I want to give it a 92 now. The more we're talking about it, the more I love it.
Okay. 92.
Yeah. It just is. It's what... I love it. For the boldness of it.
For me, though, the front palate is a little bit lean and lighter, partly because it's so overshadowed by the astringency and the tannin. I think if the unlicensed taxi driver was here, he would downgrade it a little bit for that. And I have to as well, not because I think he's right, but because I agree.
Because you're representing...
Well, I don't know. I think about it, and... The problem is, when you bracket these wines, what you've reviewed, I mean, I'm thinking of something that got a 90, like a Cabernet, like Geyser Peak, I gave it a 90, gave Intrinsic a 90. Well, this is better than both of those. But those are, you know, cheap, where this is not. Turley is a better contemporary. I gave Turley a 92 or 3, I think. Let me see here. Turley Cabernet. What the hell's not even on here? No, it must be back a ways. It's hard to say what I gave it. I think I gave it a 92 or 93. So where does that put this? Oh, boy. It gets a 91 from me. And I give it that because I have to take into consideration that it's better than things that I've rated at 90. But I would not necessarily recommend this to go out to California, fly out there and buy this. I'd probably buy the Magnificent here, which is a blend, but it's also going to be a little more fruity. Which
what is it a blend of?
Camerlot, Cafron. It's a Bordeaux style blend. That's the thing about this. It does lack a little bit of balance because of that rustic tannic astringency. So it doesn't have that big burst of fruit up in the front palate to really get you going on there. So that's the problem. The balance is there. The back half is a powerhouse. And yes, it is ageable. Yes, it is special. Yes, all those things, which bump it up. But if someone said, Rob, would you want a glass of this or a glass of Turley? The answer would be Turley. Rob, do you want a glass of this or do you want a glass of...
Dry Creek?
No. St. Supre's, Rutherford Merlot. I'd say give me the St. Supre. I would. This or Cinque Sapage. I'd say Cinque Sapage.
Something...
This or Numanthia. I'd say Numanthia.
You'd always say Numanthia.
Well, that's true. But this or Cinque...
Something... That's interesting to me that this is the first wine that we've that I have had like this since we've been really talking about wine like this, it doesn't have sometimes when you get into most of the time I feel like when you get into the 90s you have a different mouthfeel and I talk about this a lot like it's like a silkier mouthfeel. This wine doesn't have that because it's so rustic.
I've had this with certain wines. One, I would point out, Heights.
Mm.
Heights is like this. Recently, Scott and I did the review. It's far cheaper, vastly cheaper, but Hess Select, it has a rusticness to it. What Hess Select doesn't have is that big tannic structure because it's $17. So there are wines out there, these big, burly...
Yeah, I was going to say what it lacks in mouthfeel, it makes up for in actual flavor and depth.
With this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
It doesn't have a silky mouthfeel, but that wouldn't really go with a brambly, rustic cab.
No, it doesn't. And it doesn't, and that's one reason why it stands up to the biggest of big.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like, though, to see a little bit more fruit. But, hey, whatever.
It's pretty blackberry.
It's blackberry, but that's a leaner...
You want to see another...
Mm-hmm. Another dimension. I want to see more plum. You know, that's what I want to see, a plumminess to it. And the big ones really do have that. Maybe a plum, a little bit of lavender, showing a little bit of the locale. But this is a... You know what it tastes like? It tastes like a big, ugly Washington Cabernet. That's what it tastes like.
Without the...
With its chunkiness.
Without the rockiness, though.
Yeah, but quite frankly, the astringency kind of mimics that a little bit.
I normally do not like a Washington Red because of the rock flavor.
We're buying some Quilcilla Creek, so you better get ready. So, with that, folks, I would like to thank myself, of course. I would like to thank the Triple B.
You're welcome.
And I would like to thank the Superstar for just being the shining light in everyone's sky.
Yep.
And then there's the unlicensed taxi driver. So with that, I am thanking him
for not being on the show.
I don't think you heard me thank him. I just said his name. I'm just acknowledging his existence.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we are thanking him because once again, he's not here to say that the tannins are undeveloped or anything like that. So, and we didn't talk about cupping, which is
exciting.
And
we didn't talk about its legs.
It's got legs. Yes. There they are, folks. And actually, it has excellent legs. Excellent legs. Actually, those are the best looking legs we've seen. So, with that, I am going to bid you adieu, and we hope to see you next time on The Wine Vault. Good night.